Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly from Seaman High School with the KWCA podcast. Brandon Ball shares the KWCA College Senior Wrestler of the Year honor with Baker University's Lucas LeBourne. Ball had an outstanding high school career that saw him capture 4 state titles for the Fighting Cardinals of Hoisington High School. He went on to Fort Hays State University and continued that success on the NCAA Division II level with 3 All-American finishes and 4 trips to the NCAA Championships, becoming one of the best ever to don the black and gold for the Tigers of Fort Hays State University. Aside from his success on the mat, Ball also excelled in the classroom, earning academic All-American honors alongside the wrestling hardware. Lesser known in wrestling circles, but equally as impressive, is his accomplishment as a pole vaulter. The chiseled 5'8 wrestler may not look the part of a typical vaulter, but he got the job done. As a senior at Hoisington High in 2015, he went 15 feet at the state tournament and won the title. Kansas has 6 classes in the sport of track and field, and Hoisington competes in 3A. Ball's 15-foot mark was bested only by Connor McGuire of Gardner-Edgerton, who competed in 6A and went on to compete at Pitt State. Also notable was Ball's track and field coach is Dan Schmidt, the school's head wrestling coach. It is also interesting to note that his brothers Jonathan and Christopher also finished in the money at the 2015 state pole vault competition. Jonathan was runner-up and Christopher finished in 6th place. Before catching up with Brandon, we'll hear from Coach Schmidt and his college coach, Chaz Thompson. Coach Schmidt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Pat.
So Brandon Ball has been named KWCA Senior College Wrestler of the Year. You were his high school coach that guided him to 4 state titles while at Hoisington High School. Tell us about that experience and what he meant to your program.
Wow. You know, you go back to when Brandon comes into the program, obviously he had been very well coached. That's a real credit to his kid federation coaches, and most importantly, his parents, getting him to the big tournaments, not just in state, but out of state, and kind of cultivating a future that was going to be a full success. One of the things that you would have noticed right away with him was he had great discipline, a little shy. He was a homeschool kid. And so, you know, he was a little rough as far as the social skills at the beginning, but as time went on and he developed throughout the years, became a tremendous leader for us and a kind of kid that, you know, was willing to teach anyone in the room. And I think that's what really stands out about Brandon is ability to want to share his skills with everybody around him. And So that made it really a great experience.
Right now, his wrestling skills, his wrestling credentials speak for themselves. Obviously, he's our KWC Senior Wrestler of the Year. But I find it fascinating that he was also a state champion in the pole vault and also under your leadership. First, talk about your background as a dual sport coach and then about Brandon's development as a vaulter.
Well, you know, we were bringing back the pole vault. It's been an event that I'd had a lot of success in. And then Hoisington decided to get rid of the pole vault. And so there was quite a few years there when we didn't have it. And, Mike Richter had invited me back onto to the staff. And told me, we don't have the vault. And I was okay with that. I had had a lot of success coaching long jump, triple jump, some other events. And lo and behold, we had a couple of individuals that were really good to us that donated a pole vault pit and poles. A guy by the name of Leroy Donovan and his wife Jeannie donated a pit to us to get the vault coming back. And so, man, I was like, wow, I'm just starting out, and there's 5 ball boys coming up. He really was a coachable kid, and he wasn't exactly, you would like your vaulters to have a little bit more height, but, he had no fear, and he's very coachable, and, yeah, it took off for us, and he started a run of some great success not just him, but his brothers had great success with it, and they continue to have success. And he ends up jumping in his junior year. He jumps 15 feet at the league track meet. He goes into the regional meet, and he is the clear favorite to win the state title. Really doing well. And we end up going to regionals, and we know height. And that's a little bit of just a lack of experience. And the next year he came back, jumped 15 feet at state championships and won it. And that was exciting because, you know, he wasn't just a kid that was committed to one thing. And at our high school, our coaches across the board are very big on telling our kids that, you know, we think that to be a total athlete, you have to stay active in three sports. And we think that those skills you get from different sports bring you to a better level as it goes throughout all your sports. And not just that, but we think it teaches you a lot about character, having to get along with your teammates, just a lot of those qualities that I think going forward help you in life to be a success. And so, you know, a real tribute to Brandon to pay attention, learn, and listen, and do it. It was really exciting to be able to do that.
Yeah, what a great message there. So I haven't watched a lot of Brandon's matches, but what I have seen, it seems he's never out of position. He's competent from all positions. He's very calculated in his attacks, you know, very conservative. I also appreciate the way he conducts himself after a match, win or lose. When I think of Brandon, I am reminded of the quote, "Sports doesn't develop character, it reveals it." Again, I don't know Brandon, but is it accurate that his on-the-mat persona is the same as his off-the-mat persona?
You know, it is. He's always been a kid that's never too high, never too low. But always strives, I think, to do what is right. And I think when you look at his background, his parents' upbringing of trying to not just make him a good athlete, but, you know, or give him an opportunity to be a good athlete, but for them, it was always more about character, you know, class, doing the right thing, treating people the way you want to be treated. They have really strong Christian values. And I think they practice that not just at Mass on Sunday. I think they truly go out and try to live that life throughout their lives. And it shows up, you know, it shows up on, you know, at the end of the day, it was just a match. Sometimes you would be like, holy cow, you know, I remember his senior year, he lost to an outstanding kid from a little tiny town that had moved him from Kentucky. And the kid was an outstanding wrestler. And you know, he gets beat from him up at the Phillipsburg tournament. You know, here's his senior going for his fourth state title. And he gets smoked a little bit in that match. And, you know, you would be, man, you'd think you'd be devastated. And he was, don't get me wrong, it hurt, but the way he conducted himself was more about, you know what, I'm going to do what it takes to get it done if we should meet the next time. And you know, thank goodness next time rolled around, we did get a meeting in the state finals. And it, you know, it was just a match. You didn't want either of those kids to lose. It was so unbelievable. But at the end, you know, Brandon came out on top. And what an exciting thing for him and an exciting way to end the season. And, you know, I think that match was strong on getting him named class 1-3A wrestler of the year. Because if he hadn't got it, I think the other kid would have. They were that quality. So, you know, fun to see how he's grown and fun to see how he has practiced, I think, how his parents have brought him up.
And you've kind of maybe already said this, but, you know, he had an outstanding career for you. Went on to become really one of the best ever in the Fort Hays State University program. So as you look back on his total body of work, what stands out most?
I think his character and class, how he handled himself, how he conducted himself every day, whether it be on the mat or off the mat. You know, and to this day, if you trace what he's doing it really well and doing it the right way. And I think that the kids up at Fort Hays that had a chance to wrestle with him would tell you he was a great teammate, you know, a great person to call, you know, one of your teammates. And so that'll always stand out in me. And, you know, I think that as the years go by, you know, you start to reflect back, and obviously, you know, it's mind blowing to have a kid that wins a couple of state titles. When you get one to win four, that, you know, as it relates to your sport, it's been unbelievable. And I think it opened up the way a little bit for some of our other kids to think that, you know, moving forward, you can do it. And, you know, Wyatt Pettigo this last year for us, a three-time state champion, class 1-3A wrestler of the year. I think, you know, he had an influence a little bit on that. I think Christopher Ball getting three state titles, four in there, you know, he was four times in the finals. I think a kid like that, that does that, shows you, you can do it. And, we've had a lot of kids that want to, go after what he's done and that are coming up. And so that's a neat little precedence that he set. I just really, I think all those things, his class, his heart, his dedication, those are things I'll always remember.
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes to reflect on the career of 2020 KWCA Senior College Wrestler of the Year, Brandon Ball. Congratulations to you and the Hoisington Wrestling Community for their part in his success as well. All the best, Coach Mitt.
Thank you so much for the time you take and the job you do, Pat.
Coach Thompson, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Coach. Thank you for having me on.
Well, after 12 seasons as skipper of the Fort Hays State University program, you have moved on and you're taking a position back in Southeast Kansas where your roots are. Before we get into KWCA Senior Wrestler of the Year, Brandon Ball, fill us in on your transition.
Yes, it's been kind of some crazy times. We had everything kind of go down while we were at our Division II National Tournament. And, you know, that's kind of a side note, but, you know, that goes down and we're kind of selfishly feeling sorry for ourselves. And then once we get home, we kind of discover that it's much bigger than wrestling and it's much bigger than us. You know, it impacted, you know, an entire country. And I'd already been talking with my wife for about a year or two about possibly making a move, and some things just kind of started to, you know, change for us. And we decided to try to get closer to our home and our parents. So she's from Ohio, which is just a little bit closer for her as far as traveling, you know, a little bit further east. But I'm moving back to Parsons and being closer to my parents, my mother and father, who have been a huge impact in my life. And it's just made us really think things through. But I've taken a job with UST 506. And UST 506, I'll be at the K through 8, two schools, Mountain Valley and Bartlett, and their feeder schools for LCHS, Labette County High School in Altamont. So I will be a teacher. My son's going to be a kindergartner at one of the schools that I'll be teaching at, and I'll transition. I'll spend the first part of my day at one of the elementary K through 8 schools, and then second part of my day I'd be going over to the other one. And I haven't worked out any coaching contract yet, but I'll definitely be coaching at the high school level, and I believe so at the middle school level. So that's we're going to be moving here on July 1st, and I'm actually packing today, and we'll be packing for the next couple days. My son's fifth birthday is on June 28th, so we have that to knock out as well, too. So,
all right. Well, exciting news, and, you know, it happens at a good time, sounds like, with your family, with, you know, with your son just entering kindergarten, and, you know, I'm sure it's a big, well-thought-out move, so a couple of years there, but you know, congratulations on that, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, so on to Brandon here. Kind of the topic of our conversation here today is Brandon Ball, again, our 2020 KWCA College Senior Wrestler of the Year. He shares that honor with Lucas Lavorn, two great young men and very accomplished on the mat. So you obviously recruited hard and were blessed with large rosters at Fort Hays, filled with some of the top Kansas wrestlers over your tenure. Getting a guy like Brandon Ball must have been a real shot in the arm for the program. On paper, he seems to be almost too good to be true. Excellent credentials on the mat, high standards in the classroom, and just an all-around good guy. What was the recruiting process like with Brandon? And did you know that he was going to have the impact that he did on the NCAA Division II level?
I knew Coach Schmidt a little bit and had done a camp for him before and spoke to him about Brandon in length. And Brandon was obviously going to be a big pickup for us if we could get him. You know, one thing about Brandon, he was a little bit under the radar, though. He was a four-time small class kid. and he didn't wrestle a whole lot outside of his high school folk style season. He's a fantastic pole vaulter, as are his other brothers. And so he wasn't highly recruited, but I did have to recruit him pretty hard. He was really thinking about it. He was, he has a very strong Christian faith and was looking at some, just looking into some other schools that had a little bit more, you know, a faith-based background. And Fort Hays is it's a state institution. So, but I stayed, stayed on top of Brandon and in touch with his family. And, you know, I think for Brandon, it came down to being close with family, a nice, affordable school. He and I got along and, you know, I was lucky to get him. And, I was surprised because he was kind of not showing me his cards without even really, I'm not even sure if he was actively being recruited by some of these other universities he was possibly looking at, but I'm sure all he would have had to do is let them know and they would have been more than happy to, you know, throw a deal at them. So, but yeah, Brandon has been a blessing for our program. And I didn't know how successful he was going to be because he just kind of wrestled. He'd wrestle, you know, even as a kid, his folk style season and then Kid State. And I think he went to a couple things like Liberty Nationals a few times, but never went to Fargo, did freestyle or Greco or any postseason national tournaments. So he, his redshirt freshman year, he, his first open, I believe, was the Bethany Sweet Open. And that's kind of where he won a bunch of matches. And this is kind of where I learned his style. He just beat a guy like 4-0, 5-1, 6-0. And then I think he won the finals like the 2-1 overtime against a very tough NAI opponent. And he wasn't scoring a lot of points, but they couldn't score on him. And obviously, I didn't know he was going to be that good of a mat wrestler until, you know, a little bit further on. But yes, Brandon slowly improved and slowly impressed us.
Right. So he was a difference maker, as you say, from out of the gate. He earned All-American honors at the end of an already terrific freshman campaign. He had a bit of a disappointing end to another strong sophomore season, and then he bounced back with an outstanding junior year that saw him at the top of the rankings during the season and finished with a fourth place effort at the D2 Nationals. Given that production, describe what you felt for him and the rest of the team, for that matter, when the pandemic abruptly ended the 2020 National Tournament just hours before the opening whistle.
It was a tough load to take, I'm not going to lie. We got out of a coach's meeting, and we had some assistant coaches there and then some workout partners, and they were all over at a Buffalo Wild Wings eating, and I walked right over to them. It was a big parking lot, walked over, sat down, and was eating, and we'd already kind of been, you know, hearing the whispers, and in the middle of our meeting, we have some of the younger coaches that run the meeting, like, pulling out their phones, saying, hey, this is what's saying on Twitter, but nothing definitive yet. But I get over to them, and I had just ordered my food. And then one of my wrestlers, I believe it was Arius Jones, showed me his phone, and it said, the tournament's been canceled. So I finished my food, walked right over. I'm looking in the facility, and they're rolling up mats. And on the other end, there's teams still practicing, kind of looking over at the people rolling up the mats, like, what are you guys doing? Kind of a crazy scene and tough reality to hit. I immediately called a team meeting. And in today's social media, the kids find out a lot of times before you. So I knew they probably kind of knew. Back in our day, it was stuff like this. Something is getting canceled. We're finding out first as coaches and then, you know, having to call guys on phones and gather up team meetings. So they had an idea or already knew. But we pulled them up in the room and I had to hold it together emotionally just because, I mean, my heart's going out to these five young men who just, you know, qualified for the national tournament. And you have Brandon Ball, who's a senior, who has a very strong chance of becoming a national champion, and he's one of the favorites to do it. And but Brandon's just one of those kids. He took it in stride, man. He didn't show a lot of emotion. The first thing he said, like, well, now I'll just get to eat, you know. So he wanted a steak, and I was like, kind of made me smile, and kind of, you know, he just knows there's bigger things in life than just wrestling, and it's just a platform for him to, you know, be a, you know, a role model and a person for people to look to. So I'm sure he kind of had some emotions, but was just kind of, you know, keeping it together. And I did. I gathered the boys up and we took them to a nice place to eat. And we sat down and ate some good food and just kind of, I don't know, let it soak in.
Wow, that is an incredible retelling of events. I mean, from you know, you finding out from a wrestler to going to the arena to see that scene. And then how Brandon reacted, that is really really an incredible retelling there. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps to hear you tell it.
Yeah, it was, it's a moment that I'll never forget. And who knows, maybe I'll come back someday and start coaching college wrestling again, but it's how I ended my college coaching career, was on a note where, a pandemic like that hits, and it's, you just never know how you're going to react and how your boards are going to react. But, I loved the group that we had, and it could have been a really good national tournament for us. We felt really good coming in. We had some guys riding on some waves, some regionals that did some things they'd never done before, but, just the way it goes. And I mean, Brandon's got a bright future ahead of him, and he knows that. He, you know, this isn't a good or a bad thing, but I'm not sure if Brandon was allowed to have a fifth year if he would have taken it. You know, he's going to start making money right off the bat, and people want him to be his employee, and that's just the kind of guy he is. He's the guy that everybody wants on their team.
What stands out most to you about what he accomplished and the way he did it?
Every time he wins, he acts like he's been there. I can't say I've ever seen him celebrate, and he does get excited. He'll get excited for his own teammates, but when he walks off the mat, I can't tell you how many officials have walked up to me and said, I really like that kid. He always shakes, and he does. When Brandon wins or loses a match, he shakes both officials' hands or one official's hands, the opposing coach's hand, and gets off the mat and does his post-match. So he's just slowly, methodically became, you know, arguably, you know, the greatest wrestler has been at 4A State, they're, aside from Coach Billy Johnson from Norton, but they had similar careers. And I had another guy named by the name of John Inman, who had a fantastic career too. But and Brandon, you have to throw Brandon's name up there as, you know, one of the best wrestlers that ever wrestled for 4A State. So, and not to mention his cumulative GPA, I want to say is at 3.83 maybe, but he's been Cosida All-American, I believe, twice. He has a bunch of academic All-American accolades, a couple different ones, but he's just always getting put up for awards, and deservingly so, because he, you know, lives a clean life. He's a role model, comes from a great family. He's got a good, you know, set of brothers that probably toughened him up a little bit, or he toughened them up. And it's just been, he did, like you stated earlier, his sophomore year, there was a little bit of a hiccup, but that kind of happens, you know. Things happen, and it was a tough weight class, but Brandon has always been a stand-up guy in our program, never missed a practice, just always doing the community service projects when we ask him, getting guys to just do all the stuff that we ask for him. And he's, you know, he's a leader by example, and this year he was a leader by example and being vocal too, which I always talk about, because he's kind of a quiet guy, but it's just how modest he is. So it's been a pleasure coaching him.
All right. Well, we've been visiting with Chaz Thompson, now former coach at Fort Hays State University, coach of 2020 KWCA Senior College Wrestler of the Year, Brandon Ball. Coach, best of luck to you, and congratulations to you and the Fort Hays wrestling community for the career of Brandon Ball.
I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on and covering a fantastic athlete like Brandon, because he does deserve it.
Brandon, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, well, congratulations on being named 2020 KWCA Senior College Wrestler of the Year. Tell us your origin story. When did you begin wrestling, and when did it become your main sport of focus, and what other sports did you compete in along the way?
My origin story, I come from a family of seven with five brothers, and we were all homeschooled up until high school, so we got to play outside a lot. So how we got into wrestling was one of my dad's coworkers' sons was one of Great Bend Kids Club's coaches, and they had mentioned it to her that they thought we would be good wrestlers because we were so strong, just because we played outside, like we had ropes tied to trees up above a trampoline, so we were really strong. You know, of course, we ran a lot, so our conditioning was good as well, but that's how we got into wrestling. I started when I was 10, and practically when I started, all my brothers started as well. So we actually started at Great Bend's Kids Club, and it wasn't until high school that we transferred over to high school at Hoisington.
So you reside in Great Bend, but went to Hoisington?
Yeah, we actually live in Heiser, so, you know, you're kind of smack in between the two.
Okay.
It's a small town on K-96. But in high school, I did wrestling, track, and football. So that was the three sports I did in high school.
And with the other two sports, then track and football, is that something that you just got into, like during the during your high school years, or did you also play some club kind of affiliated sports as well with those?
I didn't really do. It was kind of hard to do sports being homeschooled, so I didn't do any track, of course. But I did some WKFL. At least I tried to do it 1 year, and then I got a concussion, so I didn't really have much experience beforehand going into high school, other than pole vault. I got to do a little bit of that.
All right, and your pole vaulting career, that really intrigues me. I understand that you had maybe a cousin or some relative that kind of helped influence you to get in the sport, along with head wrestling coach Dan Schmidt, who is also the school's head track and field coach. So how did the introduction to the pole vault happen, and what was it about that event that captivated you?
So how I got into it was my cousin Salam, it's my uncle's daughter, and she was pole vaulting at Great Bend. And where my dad works is my uncle's business, USA Gymnastics, and they make all sorts of foam equipment, you know, wrestling mats and practically anything with foam. And so they had made their own indoor pole vault pit for my cousin to practice with at their shop building. So since my cousin was doing it, I went ahead and just kind of messed around on it. Wasn't real good, only vaulting, I don't know, maybe 9.6 or something. Had about maybe 6 months of experience before I went into high school. Just messing around at the shop. And then once I got into high school, you know, because before going to high school, I hadn't, you know, done any sports or anything since I was homeschooled for the most part, other than club teams. But I meet Schmidt, you know, and he's all, you know, wanting me for wrestling and everything. He's so excited that I'm coming. And I was like, I don't know if I want to, you know, because he was a track coach too, pole vault coach. And he's like, you ready for track? And I was like, I don't know, you know, I think I might do some running events and stuff. And he's like, what about pole vault? I was like, I don't know yet. He's like, well, you don't really have much of a choice. I already ordered your pole, you know, so he's like, you weighing about 120? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, already ordered your pole, so you better get ready. So I didn't really have much choice getting into it off the start, because Schmidt definitely prodded me along into that field.
Wow, wow. Yeah, he'd be a hard one to say no to, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is. He's a good dude. But after I got into it, I really enjoyed pole vault a lot, just because the atmosphere, you know, it's good. And there's so much technique that is involved in pole vault. You have to be strong, of course, but mainly if your technique's not good, you won't go anywhere. But yeah, I really enjoyed pole vault, the getting shot up in the air. It's pretty fun.
Well, you know, and that's a question I was going to ask of you as well, though, the technical part of it, because physically, you don't really look like much of a pole vaulter, traditionally.
No.
The technique of it in relation to wrestling, you know, I look at you as a very technical wrestler as well, technical, and I imagine that does play into the pole vault a bit. So it's interesting that you had said that.
Yeah, it definitely does, especially since I'm so short, because I don't have the body type for it at all.
So being a four-time state champ in wrestling and also a pole vaulting state champ, you likely had some decision to make when making the decision on where to attend college. What was it about Fort Hays that pushed you in that direction, and what other colleges and universities were in the picture when you were making the decision?
I didn't really have, I was pretty set on Fort Hays. I had some colleges, of course, tell me that they wanted me to come to their school, of course, Division I colleges, but the day I signed the eligibility center, I signed with Fort Hays, so I didn't really give any of the colleges a whole lot of options or time. But the reason why I wanted to go to Hays is, you know, it's close to home, since I'm so close to my brothers, you know, the five of us, you know, it's only about 50 minutes away from my house, which is awesome. And then the price, you can't beat the price for a Division II college, and then the quality education that they had with the major that I wanted to go into.
It was interesting visiting with Coach Schmidt and Coach Thompson that they both separately had anecdotal stories that I think give a glimpse into who you are. Coach Schmidt recounted your senior season when you were in pursuit of your fourth state title and were beaten during the season by Caleb Austin, a move-in to Tribune from Kentucky. He detailed how you took both the loss and later the win in the state finals in stride. Coach Thompson reflected on the situation surrounding the message that was and how it was delivered of the cancellation of the NCAA tournament when you guys were already on site. And at least on the surface, he said how you downplayed it and were, it was just, I mean, it was earth-shattering news to most, but you really just kind of took it in stride. Where does that come from? On one hand, you are deeply committed to the pursuit of excellence, and on the other hand, you were able to put things in perspective.
I think the biggest thing is just my relationship with Jesus. It helps me push through any of the struggles that I go through. I lean on him for everything. But in the high school event, when I wrestled Caleb Austin, it was kind of came out of nowhere, you know, because, you know, he came out of nowhere and I hadn't been beat for quite a while since freshman year and hadn't been taken down in a couple of years when that happened. But I usually just try to put it into perspective, you know, just because something happens in the present moment doesn't change your future. So it just kind of pushed me to keep working even harder. But then when I went into college and this whole mess went down, it kind of stunk, of course, because I thought I had a good shot at maybe a national championship. But when it all went down, I felt like it made me grow up sooner than I was expecting because, you know, I was planning on wrestling at nationals. And then after that, I was going to go straight into track because I pole vault in track. I pole vault in college as well, not just wrestle.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was planning on going right into that right after wrestling season, you know, for about a month and a half is all the season allows for after wrestling season. But after that happened, I just tried to enjoy the moment because, you know, it's my last time getting to be with my teammates. Might as well enjoy it. This is the one time that we could actually eat as a group. It was kind of weird because normally as a wrestling, you know, team, whenever you're with each other, you can't really eat because you're all cutting weight. So I was like, well, might as well have fun while we're here with each other, because especially since it's going to be the last one for me.
So both of those situations, you know, the loss to Austin and later the win and the NCAA Division II cancellation, did you have to conscientiously, you spoke of your faith, did you have to conscientiously lean on your faith at those times? Or is it just something that you absorbed and were able to just carry on?
That's something that I constantly do. I try to just stay in relationship with him every day, doing devotions, and because the world would be pretty hard without him, that's for sure. No way I could do it without him.
So as you reflect on your four state titles from high school and your career at Fort Hays, what stands out most to you?
At Fort Hays, I'd probably say it was my freshman year going to nationals in Birmingham, Alabama, mainly because I had a lot of success in high school. But like even before high school, you know, if you would have said I was going to be a four-time state champion, you know, that would have been crazy for me to even believe back in the day in kids club. And then into college, you know, to even be able to make it to nationals, you know, I didn't ever think that would happen. I just kept working hard every day, and that's where I ended up. But my favorite was freshman year, of course, because that's where I made it to nationals my first year. And it was with two of my other classmates of that year, so I thought it was crazy that we had, you know, four of us with two other of my classmates going with me.
That sounds like what a way to, you know, kick off your career as well, you know, with an All-American showing as a freshman. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Go back a little bit to your pole vaulting again, because I didn't realize that you were on the roster for track and field. And so you participated in track and field all 4 years at Fort Hays as well?
No, not all 4 years, just the last two. So when I came in, my cousin Slum, you know, she vaulted at Great Bend. Then she ends up going to Fort Hays, which is crazy. And so she was vaulting at Fort Hays. She was trying to talk me into it you know, dual sport. And I was like, I don't know if I have enough time for this. So I just said, forget it, on the pole vault. Well, then my brother underneath me, Jonathan, he ends up coming to Fort Hays as well, and he's a good vaulter. And so, of course, Fort Hays wanted him for wrestling and pole vault as well. And so they end up talking him. Jonathan said he would do it if I did it.
Okay.
So it was kind of my cousin and my brother all talking me into it. So I was like, all right, if you're going to do it, I'll do it with you. Plus, you know, I'd be with my cousin. So I only did it 2 years, and then ended up getting a shoulder injury right after wrestling season that year. The first year I did pole vault. And so I didn't really even get to vault at all that year. So I really only had pretty much 1 year to vault.
Now, and maybe I think I read somewhere where probably the reason that Jonathan wanted you to go out was it so he could even the score? Because didn't I read something about he beat you in one competition, and that kind of motivated you to go 15 for your senior year at state track?
Yeah, probably. he beat me. He was definitely keeping the tally. I think he ended up beating me twice, because he beat me, and I think it was the Russell tournament, and I had to go run the 4x1 or something like that, like mid vault. And so I had to take, you know, a break from the pole vault, go run the 4x1. And when I came back, I just could not get my step on. And so he ends up beating me by, you know, one height. And he was rubbing that in for long.
Yeah, so who knew we were going to talk about the pole vault that much. But what an interesting little factoid, you know, high-level wrestler like you are, also participating in tribe. But that's a pretty unusual combination anywhere across the country in D2 wrestling, for sure. So that's really interesting. Sure. You did great things in the classroom as well at Fort Hays, becoming an academic All-American as well. What degree did you earn from Fort Hays, and what's next for you?
So I got my bachelor's in technology education. You know, so to be a shop teacher was my plan. And I recently got on with Mays High School.
Oh.
So I'm going to be teaching some woods classes over at Mays High School in the fall, and we'll hopefully be, I mean, for sure we'll be coaching wrestling and hopefully track as well at Mays.
Oh, well, how exciting. Yeah, and they've got definitely a good thing going there in their wrestling program. I guess I'm not sure about their track and field program, but boy, that's exciting. I didn't know that. What a get for them, for sure. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
And so when will you, we're visiting off air about your position, you're working the roofing crew in Wyoming right now. When will you be back and get settled into the Wichita area?
So right now we do 10-day stretches. So we go up there, stay for 10 days, and then we come back for a 4-day weekend and then go back up. I think I have 2 more trips up, I believe. So I think I'll be back like the 20th or 22nd, but I officially start over at Mays the 30th is when my, July 30th is when my contract starts.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Speaking today with Brandon Ball, the 2020 KWCA College Senior Wrestler of the Year. Congratulations on the recognition and good luck with all of your future pursuits.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for joining in. The Kansas wrestling community should be proud of our College Senior Wrestlers of the Year representatives. Lucas Savorn and Brandon Ball are top-notch wrestlers, top-notch students, and top-notch individuals. Well, it's not too early to start thinking about the 2020 Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic, which is scheduled for October 2nd and 3rd in Salina. John Smith and his OSU Cowboy staff will be headlining the event. I also want to encourage attendance at the 2020 NWCA Virtual Clinic. The annual event is usually held in Florida, but this year will be held virtually in your own home. Registration for the virtual clinic is only $99. As an incentive, the KWCA will get a little kickback if enough of our Kansas coaches register for the event. Registration can be taken care of on the National Wrestling Coaches Association website, nwcaonline.com. Make sure to select KWCA during checkout to show the strength of our organization. Until next time, thanks for listening.